Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues on this faith-filled, fantastic, freedom-loving Friday. This is Liberty Roundtable Live for December the 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is indeed our two of two, and we always want to promote God, family, and country, protect life, liberty, and property, use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, use the checks and balances that made America great. Wow, we've got a lot of cool things to do, don't we, ladies and gentlemen? I'll tell you that right now. Last hour was a great hour. We talked about God, family, and country. The broadcast shall be up soon after the show, and you can check out the first hour if you missed it. But I will ask you this. Have you read the book? It's called The Mainspring of Human Progress. Henry Grady wrote it. Very good book. Say again, doctor. Yeah.
I think it was Henry Grady Weaver, I think was his name.
Yeah, all I know is it says, I looked it up on the Goodreads, it said Henry Grady. Okay. So either way, that's great, though. But hey, the book is great. You got to watch it. I'm sorry, you got to read it. Wow. Patty Stockman, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman, with us. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, and a Merry Christmas to you and Steve.
Thanks, Sam. It's great to be back.
It's great to be back. I just wish we were together under better circumstances.
Oh, man. I agree.
All right. First off,
thank God.
It's in God's hands. Amen to that. First off, you know what? Our dear friend Steve, how's he doing?
Well, actually, I'm in the hospital right now with him. Ever since he's been out of prison, having suffered COVID, as you know, untreated there, he's had significant health problems, especially with his heart. So this is about his fifth or sixth time in the hospital with his heart. So it's not fun, but I think he's going to be released. We think he's going to be released today. His problem is he has AFib that keeps recurring, and he's had numerous procedures on his heart to get it into normalcy. And so they've got it in a normal rhythm right now, but we'll see how long it holds.
Well, our prayers are that he'll be singing I'll Be Home for Christmas. And our prayers are with Steve. Tell him we love him. Tell him we miss him. Tell him we pray for him. That's the message I want Steve to have. And sadly, we must talk about another serious issue, ladies and gentlemen. But the truth is starting to come out, and that is the good news that I'll take from this. The headline reads this: FBI agent pleads guilty to destroying evidence to frame pro-Trump political prisoner. Ben Wetmore wrote it. The Political Pundit is the website, or Pundit, I should say. He was a former Arkansas state senator. His name was John Woods, and he was the first to endorse President Trump in 2016. He's now paying the piper. He's sentenced to how long in prison, Patty?
18 years, 4 months.
And then a big fine?
Oh, yeah, over $1 million.
Yeah, $1.6 million from what I understand. And then he's on what, probation for 3 years even after that?
And then he's supposed to have 3 years probation, which is what Steve is in the middle of now.
I don't even know how to respond to this, Patty. What seems weird to me about this whole story is, you know what? They knew full well the FBI lied in this case.
That's right.
But they didn't care. He's still in prison. How do we get our dear friend John Woods out?
Well, that's another story, and that's another discussion for another day. I primarily want to talk about that rogue FBI agent today. But should we give your listeners just a little background
on please.
Steve, and also let you know how John Woods came across our radar screen?
Yes.
So just to refresh your listeners' memories, my husband Steve Stockman is a two-time congressman from Texas. Both times he went to Washington, once in the 90s and again in 2013, to really just change the direction of the way our nation was going off the cliff, right? And so when he went, when he was in Congress the last time, during the Obama administration, he was battling the Obama agenda at every turn, offering up legislation that, and some of it successful, to successfully block Obama's agenda. And then beginning 2 weeks into his term, he started exposing corruption on different members of the Obama administration. And I won't go into those details. If people want to take a look at what he did in Congress, they can see him at defendapatriot.com. But so the FBI began an investigation of him. You know, we're seeing that more and more and more now as the Department of Defense comes after conservative, effective conservatives, right? Whether they're in Congress or not, like people like Steve Bannon or Rudy Giuliani. If you're conservative and you're effective, they come after you. And that's what they did with my husband. Four year investigation, three grand juries before they finally were even able to get an indictment on him, and ultimately tried and convicted him in 2018. And he was sent to trumped up charges, which we see again in John Wood's case, and sent him to prison for a 10-year sentence. And praise the Lord, President Trump in December 22nd, actually yesterday was Steve's second anniversary of being out of prison, because President Trump commuted his sentence. He didn't pardon him, but he commuted a sentence that said, okay, he doesn't have to serve any more time. I immediately went and picked him up from prison, and he's now been out for 2 years and is still under a three-year supervised probation, just like John Woods is supposed to do. So that's his story. But the second prison, Steve was in three different prisons during his approximately three-year stay. And he, in the second prison he was in, Fort Worth, he met John Woods, who's former state senator of Arkansas. John served about 11 years in the Arkansas legislature, 6 years in the state house and 5 years as senator, conservative, Christian, you know, doing the right things, just like everybody in your listening audience wants to see done in their legislatures. Well, he made the mistake, as you said, Sam, of endorsing, well, he didn't make a mistake, he was right on. He endorsed Donald Trump in the presidential race, and I think a year later, he was indicted by the FBI, by the DOJ. And long story short, they convicted him, as you said, and sentenced him to 18 years in prison. And the crux of his, quote, crime was assisting a Christian college, Ecclesia, I think is the way it's pronounced, Christian college in Arkansas, to obtain state grants, which is not an unusual activity for state legislators, but DOJ and all of their wisdom, and as they always do, take a lot of disparate facts and weave a completely false narrative and that sounds perfectly reasonable on the face, but it's just completely false story. And as you said, the court knew that this FBI agent, this crooked FBI agent, had wiped his laptop clean when he learned that it was had been subpoenaed and he needed to turn it into FBI forensics to produce the court. He took it to a computer store, had the hard drive wiped, took it home, wiped it again himself, then turned it in. The court knew it, but the court forbade either party in the trial to mention the laptop to the jury. And it's just a travesty of justice.
Dr. Bradley?
It is, you know, you just, where do you go with something? There's a kind of a cult movie out there, Billy Jack. I don't know as I recommend it to everybody, but there's a line in it where the townspeople were going to do something illegal, and the Billy Jack shows up, and he's going to stop it, and one of the townspeople shouts out to him, "Billy, we have the law with us," meaning that, you know, the sheriff was there, meaning we got his support. And Billy Jack had this iconic line, I think, "When the law breaks the law, there is no law." And I just cannot, I mean, it's appalling to me the number of cases that we hear about that the law really is breaking the law. This FBI agent, I mean, blatantly in your face. I mean, Hillary Clinton smashing the different storage units that they used for things that probably would have convicted her. It is just appalling to me. Now, you hope that the rank and file in the FBI have not completely succumbed to this, but certainly the senior leadership seems to have been down that path. And, you know, there are ways of retrial. And you think about what happened with the Bundys and Gloria Navarro, the U.S. district judge that threw out their case when they found out the blatantly illegal activities that the BLM and others engaged in. I would hope there'll be able to be another review of this thing. It is absolutely appalling what's been done to this man, it sounds like.
There's a rally, we'll tell you about it too, in support of our dear friend John, ladies and gentlemen. Political prisoner, no doubt. Patty Stockman, Dr. Bradley, and yours truly on your radio. And we are live this faith-filled, freedom-loving Friday. Hang tight, more in seconds.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
You know, it's absolutely appalling to me the shift that has occurred in American jurisprudence. Having spent more than 50 years in close examination of the original intent of the American Founding Fathers, one of the things that, you know, I do when I teach, I like to compare and contrast. And one of the things that I've spent quite a bit of time reviewing is the difference between original intent in terms of justice and what we do today. Originally, the American Founding Fathers, if you could say they had a bias at all, it was a bias in favor of the defendant. And regardless of how badly somebody went after somebody, somebody in power went after somebody else in order to bring about a conviction, The overwhelming majority of the cases, justice did prevail because of that bias. I think about, for example, Jefferson's heartburn over Aaron Burr and how often he tried to get him convicted of something that looked like treason, and he never could do it. And it was because of that bias to make sure that an innocent man never suffered. They would even let guilty people go in order to make sure that that didn't happen. And the mindset, well, and by the way, that came largely from ancient Israel's approach to jurisprudence. They wanted to make absolutely certain that the fairness occurred. Now, of course, the Savior went through a kangaroo court case and everything, and at every turn, the ancient law was violated, and they were going to get a conviction regardless of what happened. And that's kind of where we've come to today. I suspect very often that today's legal jurisdiction would convict the Savior also. I'm pretty confident that with the bias towards the prosecution and the willingness to lie, steal, cheat, and do whatever it takes to win a case, and I suspect that's kind of the same path we're on today. And it was something that in ancient Israel, when it got to that time, they needed to be cleansed. And you know about the cleansing that happened with the Romans and everything about 70 AD in Jerusalem. But the fact of the matter is, in America, we started out, I mean, Jefferson was very concerned on the original Constitution, the way it was written, that we didn't protect juries enough. Why? Juries are a stopgap against tyranny. And we can prove and demonstrate the validity of jury nullification, where if a law says something and it's unjust to be carried out in a particular case, the jury could nullify it. And usually they only did it when judges were biased and had demonstrated their unworthiness to sit in the office. Today we have plenty of judges that are unworthy to sit in the office, but we have the prosecution pulling the same stunts. And so innocent people are being convicted in today's world because we have abandoned the original intent of the American Founding Fathers. And so I would like to see a return to the original intent, and I guess that's what I always propose on Sam's program.
You're absolutely right, Dr. Bradley. In fact, what is the jury called that you just...
Jury nullification is
I wanted to comment on that. Jury nullification, I would encourage all the listeners to study up on that, because if we're fortunate enough to be selected to serve on a jury, we need to be aware of that option, jury nullification. I don't think we want to take time right now to go into it, but I'm glad you brought that up, and I think that citizens need to be aware of that option. You don't have to go along with a jury, your jury peers, if you think there's doubt. And let me just speak to, I think you're absolutely right too, Dr. Bradley, that America today would convict Jesus Christ, just like the Jewish leadership did when he was alive on earth. Because, and Steve likes to say, the press would help, because the press, the headline would read, Jesus can't swim when he walked on water. it's an evil partnership. But I want to also pick up on a thread that you closed out the last segment on. You were saying that there ought to be some recourse. So let me just, a couple of things that you said that I will follow up on. There ought to be some recourse. In fact, Steve moved on from the second prison where he met John, went to a third prison, and he met one of John's co-defendants. And all of the guys involved in this case were not guilty. One of them, the president of the college that received grant money, pled guilty, as many people do in America these days, because it breaks you financially and personally to plead not guilty and go through the trial and everything that's involved. But he met the other co-defendant that also pled not guilty. These guys pled not guilty, as did Steve Stockman, because they weren't guilty. And they believed, at least Steve believed, that when a jury heard the evidence, he would be exonerated. But the thing is, like you said, Dr. Bradley, the bench is not pure. They're crooked too. It's like a big fraternity. and they don't allow the truth. The jury do not get to hear the truth. So Steve got to follow the appeal of this case through the co-defendant, Randall Shelton, who's probably listening to this broadcast because he served, he was able to get out of prison and is on the tail end of his sentence as well. But anyway, he was able to follow the appeal, and the association, let me get this acronym right, the Association of National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers, liberal organization of thousands of defense lawyers. We've come to believe they're probably a handful of conservative defense attorneys, by the way. And that's one of the problems with conservatives being able to find adequate defense. But anyway, they wrote an amicus brief, highly, highly unusual, in the appeal of this case. And they said this, NACDL, they wrote this, represents the consensus view of its members that the shocking bad faith act of destroying evidence in this case weighs in favor of vindicating the constitutional rights of the individual accused over the rights of the public in seeing crime prosecuted without permitting the accused to examine all potentially useful evidence. So John and Randall and the others, they had no recourse to be able to present this evidence that could have cleared them because the guy wiped his computer. So one other thing that you said, Dr. Bradley, I'd like to pick up on, and I've heard it so much in talk radio and on conservative talk shows on TV, that, you know, the corruption's really at the top level. Well, I wrote an article for American Thinker about this while Steve was in prison, and we found that not to be true. Look, Peter Strzok of California, who was the pinpoint for impeaching President Trump, he's a former FBI agent, as is Robert Mueller, as is, I mean Adam Schiff, the congressman from California, but Peter Strzok, of course, joined the FBI in the 90s, and Adam Schiff was FBI in the 80s, early 90s, and Mueller was with the DOJ in the same period as Schiff. And they all developed these skills of tampering with evidence, hiding it, altering it, fabricating false narratives. And that's what we've seen in Steve's case, John Wood's case, so many of these other cases. It's fabrication and destruction of evidence and creation of evidence. Sidney Powell talks about this when I heard her speak. And these guys are schooled in it. They're schooled in these tactics. So it's not just at the top. Now, granted, I know that there have to be some solid, legitimate people in the FBI. Sidney Powell was a prosecutor, a federal prosecutor before she retired, and she really didn't see the corruption until after she was practicing defense. And she ran into it headlong, wrote this book, License to Lie. And I encourage all of your listeners to see that book. But I don't buy that it's just at the top. It's in ranks. And the people that practice these skills, they are the ones that are promoted.
All right, put the story on hold for a second. A break's coming up, but I want to let people know there is a rally to take place that will support John Woods. It's at 11 a.m., ladies and gentlemen, to 1 p.m., January the 3rd. It's on the sidewalk in front of the U.S. District Courthouse, and that's at 30 South 6th Street. So it's just so you know, that 6th Street and Rogers Avenue, and it's in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Right, Patty?
That's right.
All right, we'll come back. More details, more of the story in seconds with Dr. Scott Bradley and Patty Stockman, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pride. January 6th committee released its final report in the middle of the night Thursday. The final report, which culminates an 18-month investigation, asserting President Trump played a key role in motivating it. The 814-page report recommends Mr. Trump be canceled from running for president in 2024 and the Department of Justice take legal action. A New York federal judge granted FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried bail while he awaits trial for eight federal criminal charges related to the cryptocurrency investment collapse. Two of his top executives, Caroline Ellison and Gary Wang, pled guilty Wednesday to various criminal charges, and they are cooperating with federal government officials. It's reported Sam's under house arrest and will move into his parents' home in California as they posted bail for their son. He's due back in court January 3rd. Sam on ABC News.
If I had been spending an hour a day thinking about risk management on FTX, I don't think that would have happened. You know, honestly, if I look back on myself, I think I got a little cocky.
As advertised, the weather outside is frightful for travelers in the Midwest, South, and Eastern USA.
Flight tracking site FlightAware reports that more than 2,000 flights were canceled on Thursday and 1,000 more scheduled for today have been canceled. FlightAware also reported more than 5,000 flights were delayed yesterday. Chicago and Denver were affected most because of the storm, which is hitting the Great Lakes region and the Northeast today. I'm Dave Collins.
The American people are now on the hook for the massive $1.7 trillion pork-filled budget through September 2023. The Senate passed the government funding bill 68-29 on Thursday, sending the measure to the House. A gunman in Paris, France, opened fire, killing at least three people on Friday. A 69-year-old man has been taken into custody. A motive is unknown. USA News.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Mike Cappell here, serial entrepreneur. Let's make sure your current payroll provider isn't overcharging you, shall we? First, go to your payroll provider's website to see what you're currently paying. Oh, what's that? You can't clearly see your pricing because your vendor is running a temporary sale or making you call for a free quote? That's unfortunate. If you go to PatriotSoftware.com, you will instantly see our payroll pricing for companies with 1 to 100 employees. Well, there you go. At least now you know what you should be paying for payroll. Go to PatriotSoftware.com. Use promo code RADIO and get 2 months of payroll processing free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
All right, Patty Stockman, Dr. Scott Bradley, and yours truly on your radio. We're talking about this most egregious abuse of power and proof thereof, I might say. FBI agent pleads guilty of destroying evidence to frame pro-Trump political prisoner, former Arkansas State Senator John Woods. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. The court knew full well that they committed fraud and withheld exculpatory evidence. They knew full well, and the FBI agent has now pled guilty that could prove Woods' innocence. You know what? He made the hard drive unavailable for forensic examination. According to court documents, now it's former agent, Robert Cesario, was charged with corrupt destruction of records in an official proceeding in connection to the corruption trial of former state senator John Woods. Now, folks, listen to me. You're an FBI agent. You literally sworn oath to the supreme law of the land. Your whole job is to first do no harm, to bring peace and stability and safety and prosperity and to the nation. And you literally destroy evidence and politically put somebody in prison for 18 plus years, and then you retire and walk away? What is the accountability? John Woods still sits in prison, even though the corrupt DOJ and the corrupt FBI have now admitted they framed an innocent man by intentionally destroying evidence. Well, I ask, where's this agent right now, Patty?
He's free. And let me wrap up where I was before we broke, and then I definitely want to jump into this agent. So the appeal that the liberal defense attorneys wrote for, it failed. So right now the case has hit a brick wall. And so to your point, Dr. Bradley, right now, there's nothing we can do right now to help free John Woods, particularly under this administration. However, to your point, Sam, the problem at hand now is this agent. He's due to be sentenced in a hearing in Fort Smith at the courthouse. You gave the address, and we'll come back to it again, Sam, on January 5th. Well, on January.
Oh, wait, it's not the 3rd; it's the 5th.
No. He's going to be sentenced on January 5th.
Got it. So the rally is on the 3rd before the sentencing on the 5th. Got it.
Exactly. Because we want as many patriots as possible to show up on the sidewalk with us, with signs, and to call for justice to be done with this corrupt agent of the government who's in, like you said, a position of public trust. And he broke the trust with America and with John and his two co-defendants by destroying this evidence. And do you know, he and his attorney submitted to the court a sentencing document asking the judge to give him 1 year probation for this crime. And that, to me, is outrageous. But you know what's even more outrageous, Sam? In his sentencing document he provided asking for this sweetheart deal, he cited two other FBI agents or former FBI agents' crimes of tampering with or changing evidence, and the fact that both of them only got 1 year probation, and thus he's using that to substantiate why he should have only 1 year probation. And I don't know about you guys, but that just makes me irate. How dare he? Those offering up those two as evidence to me substantiate the fact that this kind of crime in the FBI and the Department of Justice is an accepted standard operating procedure. And I find that outrageous. And to offer that up as a reason, a rationale for why he should only have a year's probation instead of going to prison like the men that he sent to prison, it's just beyond the pale. And so we're calling on patriots who are able to come to this northwest corner of Arkansas to the courthouse on January 3rd, 10 o'clock in the morning, at 11 o'clock. We're planning to be there from 11 to 1. Calling on the judge to deny this request for this sweetheart, corrupt, self-serving sweetheart deal and sentence this man to prison time. The judge has an option to sentence him to up to 20 years in prison. And he needs to understand what it's like to have to live in prison. He's guilty. These men are innocent. And it's just not right that these FBI agents continue to get off scot-free or with a slap on the wrist. Heaven help
us. And Dr. Bradley, I'm a very peaceful guy. As you know, I talk about restoration rather than revolution, etc. But you know what? At some point, I'm kind of starting to wonder, you know, when these criminals just act like this, at some point, you know, what are we justified in doing about it? You know, what we do is we sit back, we wring our hands, we go, well, the sheriff should do something. The sheriff says, well, I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. It's too political there. And then these government goons literally run amok and just literally destroy families left and right. And, yeah. But yet at some point we can't do anything about it. Dr. Bradley, how do we take things to the next level without crossing the line?
I think we're coming close to the line now in the United States with how things are going. The problem is this agent should be more than culpable for everything that's happened. This man has been, if you will, a person that was standing for truth and justice in the American way his whole career. And it's one of those things where his culpability should be reflective of what his understanding should be of what's at stake if you violate those principles. And so the severity of his punishment should reflect, I mean, you talk about a little child that doesn't know good from bad and they do something, their punishment's pretty mild. Go to your room for a half an hour, whatever. But if someone is fully aware of the of the responsibility that they have and they violate that, I mean, you know, your audience, Sam, is probably well aware in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so what we have is a situation where, sadly, in so many ways, these bad guys have taken the sole management of the government to themselves. And there needs to be a comeuppance, a justice fulfilled. And I'll just give you a real quick example, and I know I probably spend more time talking than I should, but I sat through an entire criminal case one time in the court to hear what really happened. I had reviewed the law that was purported to have been violated. The law was so poorly written. The law was something that anybody, any normal human being, in violation of how Jefferson said law should be written, they could very easily be confused. And when the defense attorney asked that a copy of the law be read in court, the judge first of all, the prosecuting attorney came out of his chair, just livid. We can't let that happen. The judge completely supported the prosecuting attorney. The law was at fault because anybody could have misunderstood what the law said. If I had been on the jury, I would have said as a member of the jury to my fellow jurors, we need a copy of that law. We would have requested it from the judge. If they had been unwilling to provide it, we would have actually said, then we'll have to return a not guilty because you guys are withholding evidence. The problem is the courts often withhold the evidence. It's not just the individual that's bringing the charges.
That's right. That's what happened in this case. The judge said, neither party, can you raise this laptop to the jury during the court proceeding before the jury at all? There was some sort of proviso that the judge put in there that if they established some good foundation to justify bringing it up, then they could consult with him outside of the trial proceedings to seek permission. And unfortunately, like I said, most of these defense attorneys are liberal themselves, and these guys, defense attorneys, didn't open that can of worms. They didn't take advantage of that little loophole that the judge had provided, though he probably would have denied, right? And the courts are just, I have just found that these judges are in the same swimming pool with the prosecutors. They're all one big happy family.
Spiritual wickedness in high places, and truly there needs...
We're asking people to pray, because you're right. This is spiritual. It's spiritual warfare. Christ told us we battle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities and wickedness. And so we're asking for prayer and for people to show up on January the 3rd.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Liberty Roundtable Live. Our dear friends, Steve Stockman, John Woods, both political prisoners, ladies and gentlemen. I know Steve's not in prison right now, but he's a prisoner of what they've done to him. Merry Christmas. The broadcast continues in seconds.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
The family. Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education, conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, these are interviews that are hard for me to do. I mean, there's so much corruption. And it's one thing to talk about the corruption and the evil doings, etc. It's another thing to talk about the proper role of government in education, to highlight what we stand for and what we stand against. But when it gets this personal to dear friends' lives, to families. You know, Ammon Bundy served in prison because of the government lying for 2 years, and he was guilty of nothing. And the only reason they stopped the trial of Ammon Bundy is because he was about to get too much via discovery, via whistleblowers, etc., out into the public record. The judge acts like, oh, man, the government was so evil. They withheld exculpatory evidence and we had to shut it down because the government was so bad. But nobody really was accountable. The real reason she shut it down was so that she could literally bottle up the rest to make sure nothing else came out.
Yeah,
folks.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that Ammon Bundy's free. I mean, that's a win in a way. But at the same time, it's not a win at all. The truth is that they didn't want the rest to come out. And I submit to you that if Steve Stockman keeps fighting and if John Woods keeps fighting, the same thing is going to happen. That too much information. Look, we already have an FBI agent who pled guilty. We already have a court and a judge that knew full well that evidence was destroyed, literally destroying a fair trial for this poor gentleman. Patty, this is what we're talking about. I don't know how to handle these things. She's on one hand, and I want to say this very carefully, but point it out. On one hand, I almost want to storm the jail and get him out. Now, don't misunderstand me, ladies and gentlemen. Do not. Don't take my words out of context and suggest that I advocated or that I said to do such a thing. I'm not saying anything like that. All I'm saying is when you see this injustice, it makes you almost want to go berserk. It makes you want to do something. It makes you livid. And I'm just saying that. So, Patty, this is what I'm talking about. I don't know how to conduct these interviews very well because I just get so beside myself with the injustice of it all. And so I'm not saying storm the jail. I'm trying to make a point about my feelings. Let's be clear.
No. And
sorry I have to couch it that way to defend myself, Patty, but that's where we are in America.
It is angering. It is angering, Sam, and you're right. I mean, the left is all the time accusing us of inciting violence or, you know, saying things that are going to incite violence. But when we see riots and violence, even looting stores, is it the right? No, it's the people on the left. But anyway, you are so right. It's heartbreaking what is happening in our nation. I mean, both John and Randall Sheldon, both of their wives divorced them. Sheldon had a little baby, and now his wife doesn't want him to have any part in that child's life. It ruins lives. It breaks us financially. It breaks families. It's a crime against American citizens, and it is devastating. But to this crooked agent who, yes, sworn to uphold the law and trying supposedly to enforce the law, breaks the law knowingly. And you have to wonder, how many times have these agents that did either found guilty or pled guilty, how many times did they do it and got away with it? And those people that they get promoted, like I said, Sidney Powell wrote all about that, how they get promoted. And anyway, so this guy, I do want to clarify, this guy is asking for 1 year unsupervised probation. Now, the probation that Steve is on and that John Woods would be on after serving 18 years is supervised. That means they have to report in every month, either in person or at least virtually, and touch base with their parole officers and fill out this form and report every month. Well, this guy wants unsupervised probation. I don't know what the heck that means. It means just walks down the street and don't worry, go anywhere you want, and there is no restraint at all with probation, unsupervised probation. So we just want, people could write, although I don't think that the judge could get letters at this late date before the hearing. So that's why we're asking people to pray, undergird this in prayer, that justice will be brought forth against this agent, that he will suffer his due, that he will suffer his due fruit. And if you are able to, I'm going from Houston over to Arkansas, and I know there's a whole caravan of people that are claiming to come from North Carolina. People are coming from across Arkansas. And this is located kind of just across the border from Oklahoma, and I think about a three-hour drive from Missouri. If people are on the south side of Missouri, they may want to consider coming down and joining us at 11 a.m. on the 3rd of January in front of this courthouse, 30 South 6th Street in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and that's at the corner of 6th Street and Rogers Avenue. And if people are able to stay around and be there on the day of the sentencing hearing, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have as many people as possible sitting in the courtroom, letting the judge know that, you know, our eyes are on you. But we're hoping, we're going to be shooting for press coverage on Tuesday so that we can get, you know, press in the media that night and the next day that the judge will see, and to let him know that Americans do care. Americans are tired of this corruption, and we want to see some justice brought upon the heads of these people that are undermining justice when they're supposed to be carrying it out.
Dr. Bradley?
You know, we've lost many of our language skills in this nation. This seems like a strange thing to bring up. But 100-plus years ago, there was a term in use. It was varlet, V as in Victor, A-R-L-E-T. Closely related to harlot, okay? And it's kind of an archaic use of the term today. Now, it's a dishonest or unprincipled man, and I would add to that, who will do whatever you want for money, okay? Mm. We have many varlets in the old terminology 100-plus years ago that sit in high places in this government today and should be removed from office. I remember I testified before the United States Senate Judiciary Committee back in 2004 against the wish. Well, I wasn't against his wishes. He was on the other side of the position. Is my first run-in with James Comey. In 2004, he was United States Deputy Attorney General. And I saw in him the terminology varlet. Someone that sat in a position would do whatever they wanted to do in order to get it done. And we saw later on his actions, became director of FBI and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, holy cow, he got a chit in the game. You know, and Sam talks about, boy, these things get you so mad. There will come a time, albeit I don't think now. But the days of the Declaration of Independence, to me, I read it as today's news today. The 27 offenses of the king were brought out as evidence as to why armed rebellion was necessary against a king. Just read you a few little snippets out of it. It is today's news today. He obstructed the administration of justice. He has erected a multitude of offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution. Mm-hmm. And they talk about acts of pretended legislation. It denied in many cases the benefits of trial by jury, altered fundamentally the forms of our governments. These things are happening real time in America today. And there were 27 offenses that were written into the Declaration of Independence. And again, I think Americans need to go back and say, it's time for Americans to become informed and to remove from office those that sit there as varlets, fulfilling a purpose that are is null and void and unjust. And it's
Dr. Bradley, I want to make
aroused.
This point. I don't want to call for violence, but I almost wonder if more, I don't know what you want to say, confrontation, more action, more direct, whatever, would actually avoid greater violence down the road. What we tend to do is hold off, because we want to be moral. We want to be peaceful. We want to be kind. We want to give the benefit of the doubt. That's our character as Americans, right? But at the same time, the longer we wait, the less likely we'll be able to avoid bloodshed.
Well, the blood does become deeper as we get deeper into the problem. The part of the big problem right now is we don't have enough Friends of Liberty. We
Amen.
Need to make these principles popular again with people. People need to be wise enough to re-implement these things. And at the point, we can avoid a problem. I talked earlier about jury nullification. There's nullification by state legislatures. And it is, Jefferson and Madison spoke of nullification as an act of love to preserve the government and the nation and our liberty. And what needs to happen is enough people need to be aware of the baseline principles and become willing to defend them, to embrace them. See, in 1775, the Americans come to the point they would die for liberty. Americans
right.
don't even care what's going on right now.
Yeah, we can't even get to pay $5 a month for liberty these days, ladies and gentlemen, hardly. You know, where we can't
right.
get to move to a new place where we can get enough Americans to elect a good sheriff, et cetera. Patty, Dr. Bradley's right on the point.
Yes, he is. He absolutely is. In fact, as you were speaking, Dr. Bradley, I was recalling that I know Steve had a draft bill. I don't know that he ever filed it when he was in Congress to abolish the FBI, because he could see back then how crooked they were. And I think that's what needs to happen, Dr. Bradley. And I think Congress needs to act to completely defund it. And we need a president in office that would abolish it and start over.
Absolutely correct. And it's not just the FBI, it's the CIA, the Department of Justice.
The
TSA. I mean, they're all of these alphabet soup organizations, the BATFE, every single one of them are unconstitutional. And it's interesting to me that, we're out of time, I know, but how there's so many times they say, we should do this, and they don't have any authority to do it. And we continue to blink our eyes against the bigger sin, if you will, when it comes to the existence of these organizations that violate the fundamental baseline principles of limited government, checks and balances, delegation of authority. We don't even think about that anymore. We put people in office that are varlets. We put people in office, I call them baboons and buffoons. And the lessers hold office now, unfortunately. And they bow to these false philosophies that have become so popular. We have a pathway. We were on it.
Really quick, ladies and gentlemen, we want to highlight this rally, and we want to have you on, Patty, next or the week of this event, so that we can promote it and highlight it a little bit more. Where's the rally?
It's Tuesday, January the 3rd, on the sidewalk in front of the U.S. District Court in Fort Smith, Arkansas. The address is 30 South Street, and that's the corner of South 6th Street, and that's the corner of 6th Street and Rogers Avenue.
All right. Is there a website or any place people can get more info?
No, there isn't.
All right. I understand.
It's
just Patriots doing the best they can. Go ahead.
Can they reach us through you by chance?
Yeah, absolutely. Liberty Roundtable. Okay. @gmail.com, ladies and gentlemen. Email me. I'd love to hear from you. We'll see what we can do to support the rally in every way possible. Our prayers are with dear John and the work that he's done for liberty and the price he's had to pay. Same with our dear brother, Steve Stockman, ladies and gentlemen. John Woods, Steve Stockman, pray for them both. Merry Christmas to all of you. We have got to take action, ladies and gentlemen, and we've got to find ways to do it that improve the situation. For Patty Stockman, Dr. Scott Bradley, and Sam Bushman, God save the Republic of the United States of America.